Romans chapter 11, starting in verse 11 through 36. This is a long topic, but this section is just one topic. Who will read this for us? John, go ahead, please.
I say then, they did not stumble so as to fail, did they? May it never be, but by their transgression, salvation is done to the Gentiles to make them jealous. Now if their transgression is riches for the world, and their failure is riches for the Gentiles, how much more will their fulfillment be? But I am speaking to you who are Gentiles. Inasmuch then as I am an apostle of Gentiles, I magnify my ministry. If somehow I might move the jealousy of my fellow countrymen and save some of them. For if their rejection is the reconciliation of the world, what will their acceptance be out of life from the dead? If the first piece of dough is holy, the lump is also, and if the root is holy, the branches are too. But if some of the branches were broken off, and you, being a wild olive, were grafted in among them, and became partaker with them of the rich fruit of the olive tree, do not be arrogant toward the branches. But if you are arrogant, remember that it is not you who supports the root, but the root supports you. You will say then, branches were broken off, so that I may be grafted in. Quite right, they were broken off for their unbelief, but you stand by your belief. Do not be deceived, but fear. For if God did not spare the natural branches, he will not spare you either. Behold then the kindness and severity of God. To those who fell, severity, but to you, God's kindness, if you continue in his kindness. Otherwise, you also will be cut off. And they also, if they do not continue in their unbelief, will be grafted in, for God is able to graft them in again. For if you were cut off from what is by nature a wild olive tree, and were grafted contrary to nature into a cultivated olive tree, how much more would these who are natural branches be grafted into their own olive tree? For I do not want you, brother, to be uninformed of this mystery, so that you will not be wise in your own estimation, that a partial hardening has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles has come in. And so all Israel will be saved, just as it is written, the deliverer will come from Zion. He will remove ungodliness from Jacob. This is my covenant with them when I take away their sins. From the standpoint of the gospel, they are enemies for your sake. But from the standpoint of God's choice, they are beloved for the sake of the fathers. For the gifts and the calling of God are irrevocable. For just as you once were disobedient to God, but now have been shown mercy because of their disobedience. So these also now have been disobedient, that because of the mercy shown to you, they also may now be shown mercy. For God has shut up all in disobedience, so that he may show mercy to all. Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God! How unsearchable are the judgments and unfathomable his ways! For who has known the mind of the Lord, nor who became his counselor? Or who has first given to him, that it might be paid back to him again? For from him, and through him, and to him are all things. To him be glory forever. Amen.
Thank you. Verse 11, what version is that, John? New American Standard. In verse 11, and in the New King James, I'll read that. I say then, have they stumbled, speaking of Israel. I say then, have they stumbled? Certainly not. But through their fall, I say then, have they stumbled that they should fall? Certainly not. But through their fall, to provoke them to jealousy, salvation has come to the Gentiles. It's a little confusing. It says, have they stumbled? No. The answer is no. Then right away it speaks of their fall. So it has they stumbled? Have they stumbled to a fall? And it says no. But then it speaks of a fall, David.
Mm-hmm. Then I ask, did they stumble so as to fall beyond
beg somebody to want something.
Oh, I know. You
give it to somebody else.
Yeah.
And that's what's happened here. It is God wants Israel to want him more and more. He wants them to come back.
Mm-hmm.
But they're shying away from him. They're kind of shunning God. So he's giving salvation to the Gentiles who was despised by Israel. And now is, you know, he's wanting Israel to look at this and say, oh, wait a minute. We want that. We want that.
Right. Any other comment? Verse 15. For if they are being cast away is the reconciliation of the world, what will their acceptance be but life for the dead? So, what's NIV say with that one? 15. This reflects God's purpose. As we go through, I think we'll see that that God's purpose was... Well, I can't say that. I'm not going to say that. But what his purpose was to include the Gentiles, provoke Israel to jealousy. In Romans 9:22 through 26, and this will help support an idea I've had. 9:22 through 26. What if God, wanting to show his wrath and to make his power known, endured with much long suffering the vessels of wrath prepared for destruction? And that he might make known the riches of his glory on the vessels of mercy, which he had prepared beforehand for glory, even us whom he called, not of the Jews only, but also of the Greeks. As he says also in Hosea, I will call them my people who were not my people, and her beloved who was not beloved. And it shall come to pass in the place where it was said to them, you are not my people. There they shall be called sons of the living God. So, it's quite a plan. And we see later on in chapter 11 how unsearchable his ways are. And so there's some things about this we probably will never know. But there's some hint that God set the Gentiles or the Jews in this place of rejection so that the Gentiles could come in. And that the Gentiles that came in were influencing the Jews to come back. Any comment? No, that's right.
But God knows us, and that last phrase that I love, and you've heard me use it so often, know the depth of the riches, both wisdom and knowledge of God.
Yes,
unsearchable are his ways, that's true.
Right. Any other comment? Verse 18 through 22. Do not boast against the branches, but if you do boast, remember that you do not support the root, but the root supports you. Who is he talking to here? Gentiles, yes. You will say then, branches were broken off that I might be grafted in. Well said. Because of unbelief, they were broken off, and you stand by faith. Do not be haughty, but fear. For if God did not spare the natural branches, he may not spare you either. Therefore, consider the goodness and severity of God. I'm going to say it a little different. Therefore, consider the goodness and the severity of God. On those who fell, severity, but toward you, goodness, if you continue in his goodness. Otherwise, you also will be cut off. So what are some of the keys we see here about our spiritual success. In part has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles had come in. So blindness in part had happened to Israel so that the fullness of the Gentiles could come in. Do you think God had anything to do with the blindness? Do you think that was on purpose? So the Gentiles could come in? Verse 26, and so all Israel will be saved, as it is written. What's the NIV say with that part of that verse?
And in this way, all Israel will be saved, as it is written.
That's right. Okay. But if you read this, and so all Israel will be saved, comma, as it is written, you would think that all Israel was going to be saved. But I believe what it's saying here is this is the way that all Israel will be saved. And it goes on to say, the deliverer will come out of Zion, and he will turn away ungodliness from Jacob. For this is my covenant with them when I take away their sins. So who is the deliverer? Easy question. I'm gonna make somebody speak. Who's the deliverer? Jesus. All Israel will be saved through Jesus, the deliverer.
And Mark, go back a little bit. When he's talking the kindness and service of God, or severity and goodness.
Yes.
It's that same balance of law and grace, of judgment and forgiveness. And it doesn't matter if you're a Gentile or a Jew. You're balancing that with God.
Uh-huh.
Right? By how you respond to it. And talking about the hardness of the heart, how much of that is just already inculcated in their culture. I don't think God was hardening their heart. Jesus, I think they were blinded by their biases, their prejudices, and their misunderstandings.
Right. In researching, doing my prep work, I found this statement. It says, God subordinates sin to His purpose, but it is not an element in His purpose. So, God doesn't make anyone sin. He subordinates sin to His purpose, but He doesn't use it. It's not a tool in His box. Any comment?
Mark, one more comment, and I'll finish. Chapter 10, where Paul starts out, he said, brethren, my heart desires and prayer to God for Israel that they might be saved, for they have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge.
Right.
Going about to establish their own rights, they have to submit themselves to the righteous God. That phrase is
Bible teaches that you can be saved just like everybody else by obeying Christ.
That's right. Through Jesus Christ. Exactly. I'm glad you did, Herman. David?
Also talking about, you're asking the question about all Israel there. In point six, and of course they haven't been in the whole class, but we know previously that Paul has argued that, we're all children of Abraham. So I believe this Israel is the new Israel
there's only one way. Verse 30, for as you were once disobedient to God, yet have now obtained mercy through their disobedience. And so, the statement that I quoted about God subordinates sin to his purpose, but it's not an element in his purpose. And this kind of reflects that. For as you were once disobedient to God, you have now obtained mercy through their disobedience. Even so, these also have now been disobedient, that through the mercy shown you, that also they also may obtain mercy. For God has committed them all to disobedience, that he might have mercy on all. And then it goes on to say, oh, the depths and the riches of both the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. That lets us all off the hook, doesn't it? We don't have to understand everything. How can we? For who has known the mind of the Lord, or who has become his counselor, or who has first given to him, and it shall be repaid to him? For of him and through him, and to him are all things, to whom be glory forever. Amen. Any? Say it again.
Verse 35.
Yes?
You're basically saying God doesn't owe any of us.
Oh. Amen. No way. Yeah. He doesn't. When we do, there's a verse that says, when we do what we are supposed to do, that we are considered unprofitable servants. We're just even. No profit. Now we're going to get into Romans chapter 12. Any other input? Yes, Kevin. That's right.
Out of all the people of the earth to start with, through Abraham. So again, it was no choice on their own or nothing that they were special. It was God said, I'm doing this through Abraham.
So it was all God.
So exactly. So God is really the olive planter, nurturer, grower, creator.
Right.
And in really, in some ways, if you go back to Abraham, we're all grafted in by his kind.
So the verse that says, you have nothing that has not been given to you. That's even the relationship we have with God. Okay. Romans 1 and 2. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Beseech. It means, I beg of you, please. Therefore, takes us back to the prior writings here in Romans. Possibly all of them. In chapter 1 through 8, it shows doctrine, as David said, what God has done for us. The doctrine of justification, sanctification, and glorification. We will read Romans 3, 21 through 24. 3, 21 through 24. Okay, Dustin.
But now the righteousness of God has been manifested apart from the law. Although the law and the prophets bear witness to it, the righteousness of God is faith in Jesus Christ for all who believe. For there is no distinction. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God and are justified by His grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus.
Thank you. So there's our justification. Here's verse 28, chapter 3. Therefore, we conclude that a man is justified by faith apart from the deeds of the law. Sanctification, Romans 8, 31 through 39. Who will do that one? Yes, Dustin, thank you.
What then shall we say to these things? God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also with us graciously give us all things? Who shall bring any charge against God's elect? And is God who justifies? Who is condemned? Christ Jesus is the one who died, more than that, who was raised. Who is at the right hand of God? Who indeed is interceding for us? Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written.
Do I 39, please.
As it is written, for your sake, we are being killed all the day long. We are regarded as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. For I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all of creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord.
Thank you. And glorification. Romans 8. 12 through 17. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption, by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, of God and joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. Those verses kind of highlight the therefore, in light of, as we see in Romans 12, I beseech you, I beg you please, in light of the justification, the sanctification, and the glorification, in light of those things, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. This is a wonderful two verses. God's expectations. They're laid out here. Yes, Joe.
Just an observation. These folks, as they were sitting, listening to this, were being read during this time.
Mm-hmm.
They're Gentiles living in a city that's full of sexual dysfunctionality as far as God is concerned. Overindulgence in food, at auditoriums, eat all you want, and go puke, and go eat some more. Overindulging in drink, tempted prostitutes, incest in homes, among family members. They were coming out of pretty bad stuff.
And you know, I don't know if you've ever been... Go ahead, Herman.
Well, just on what Joe is saying here, sometimes a paraphrase can have some pretty good thoughts. Phillips, in his paraphrase of Romans 2, is 12-2, don't let the world around you squeeze you into its own mold. That's what Joe is saying.
Yeah. Well, there's plenty of influence, ungodly influence, whether you're eating and puking, or whether it's, you name it. The world is run by Satan, and Satan is definitely active.
Don't be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good.
David.
Mark, I think you are hitting this, but it helps you to think of a hinge. Right? What does a hinge do? It allows you to turn.
Yeah.
This is the hinge of the entire letter. Right? Paul has said, because of all this,
yeah,
how are we now to live?
Right.
That's the rest of the book.
If you go, so, we have to be done, but if you go beyond, if you go the rest of chapter 12, you know, in life, we have expectations.
Right.
And sometimes they're not met. And we have to ask ourselves, did I tell that person what I expected? And if there is no understanding by that person what you expected, you have no right to be disappointed. Chapter 12 lays out an expectation. It's very important that we understand what God expects. And it's when we get there and stand before God, it's not going to be, shouldn't be a surprise. So when we get back, we're going to start there at verse 1 and hit it again. But this is really good stuff. Okay, let's pray.